Welcome to the Student Paramedic Podcast. Welcome back to the Student Paramedic Podcast. My name is Brayden and I'm joined here today by Alex.
Hey guys.
And today we are talking to Brooke and Ray from Emergency Fit. Now Emergency Fit is a fitness company designed for emergency healthcare workers based in WA, Australia. If you guys could, I just gave a brief description of what Emergency Fit is, but if you guys want to talk about what it is and what your company does.
So basically Emergency Fit all started, so I'm a paramedic and working here in Western Australia, and I'm quite well known on road. I do a lot of fitness sort of stuff. I'm sort of right into CrossFit and lifting and lots of different things like that, and people know that quite well. And, you know, I was always being hit up by colleagues saying, since I started in the job, I've become really unfit, or I've had injuries. I just need to know what to do. What do you recommend that I should do? So that just sort of was so frequent, and I was just like, look, there is really a gap in the market here for people like us who work shift work, because that's always a really big barrier to exercise, is people doing shift work and night shift because they're always tired, and you know, how do I find the time, and what should I be doing, and things like that. So I was just spoke to Ray, who is my husband, and he's a strength and conditioning coach, fitness trainer, has done that for a long, long time. And I thought, you know, we should combine our powers here of sort of my knowledge on road and you know, the questions I've been asking, and sort of try and get something together here and really dedicate it purely for people in emergency services and healthcare.
That's really cool, because we definitely know, just only doing some placements as well, how difficult it can be after a 12-hour shift. You know, when do we fit in exercise, or you know, we know that it benefits us, but it's more of, I guess, a time thing, and most people get exhausted after that, you know, 12-hour shift. So that's really cool that you guys have been able to combine forces and create a gym that can really provide and cater for emergency workers.
Yeah, it's been really good, and we've, it's only sort of early days that we started this year, but it's just sort of gone from strength to strength, and it's gained a lot of traction and getting a really lot of feedback, great feedback from people starting it. And it's just really, really rewarding when people are able to sort of implement, you know, fitness into their life and really make some big changes and prevent them from getting injuries, which is one of our biggest things, is preventing on the job injuries.
Yeah, nice. And so for you, Brooke, how long have you been on road for as a paramedic, and walk us through, I guess, that what you've been doing with that as well.
So I started back in 2013, so it's 7 years, coming up to 8 years next year, which has gone really, really fast. So it's been huge. I came from, my background was in the army, so it was a really great transition from being in the army and then moving across. It set me up really well, and absolutely love it. I'm working in the in our training college at the moment, so I've been in here for 18 months and running the we've called it our student ambulance officer induction course. That's our new student ambulance officers before they hit the road.
That's really cool. So I guess that's a nice little segue into walking us through what that process is like as a WA student wanting to become a paramedic. So what is that process like for them?
So WA, we're quite unique actually over here, in that you have to, it's highly competitive for one, give you that one straight up, but it's definitely achievable. You just, you need to apply for St. John when they open up they call it the SAO, which is the Student Ambulance Officer Program. So you go through the application process with St. John, and then they work hand in hand with Curtin University. So you go out and you do 1 year of university sort of on your own, but you're still technically employed, but it's you're obviously unpaid that first year. You get through that, and then you start on with us. So that's where I come into it. So you've done your first year on row. You've done your first year at uni. You then come into the training college and start your induction school for 9 weeks. So that's where we put everybody through their paces and through your scenarios, and basically teach you your A to E and everything you need to know before you go out and you are, you know, with your patients for the first time on road in an ambulance working with a paramedic.
That's really cool. And do they do any type of fitness type of stuff or movement patterns, anything like that to teach you as you're a student in your service over there, or do they not do that?
No, like there is a really big focus on manual handling and the safety aspects of that. However, it's easy to teach something in a classroom, but then in a real life environment, a lot of that stuff unfortunately isn't practical. So yeah, we do our best to, you know, we obviously teach people the textbook way of doing it, and then you just have to sort of try and do your best when you're on road. So, but there's no dedicated fitness or strength or anything that's for that, unfortunately, as yet.
Yeah, nice. And so I guess, how do you guys tailor that with emergency fit? So obviously being very specific for emergency workers, what do you try to do to mitigate those challenges on road?
So basically the way that, so Ray does all the programming, which has been really amazing so far. I could pass probably a bit of this on to Ray, but the way that we do program, Ray, do you want to take over that part and just tell them how you program it all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So basically what I'm just trying to achieve is having a good kind of balance between, you know, like upper body pushing and pulling, lower body kind of squatting and hinging, and, you know, throwing in quite a bit of unilateral work. So just like some anti-rotational stuff. Because there is going to be like a lot of bending and twisting on the job. And so we're trying to kind of basically bulletproof people for that, those scenarios. And, you know, like a lot of, you know, static core work and strengthening the core and teaching people how to brace and move while braced. And, you know, just kind of, I guess, setting people up for success in that regard in the programming. So it's, basically, my idea was to just have it, you know, be applicable to on-road stuff, you know, because it would be easy enough for us to just kind of make a program just based off of fitness. But that's not something that we wanted to do. We wanted to make this, you know, like applicable for the job. And, you know, we have quite a few friends that are, you know, always seem to be injured, you know, with bursitis and the shoulders or lower back injuries. And that's something that we want to change. So that's basically how we've kind of programmed emergency fit.
Nice. And so we got to do a little bit of a couple of weeks worth of the program. We got around to a few of the workouts, and what we really loved, I guess, about your programming was that you had options for shift work and then also for your Monday to Friday. And the shift work one was really cool to read through and like give it a go, because you had parts in there that would have different intensity related to different shift work that you were on. So if you're on a night shift, obviously the intensity wouldn't be as high as a different day. And you also had as some of the less intense days, you'd go for a walk or listen to some mindful apps or do things like that. And that was really quite nice. And so it kind of ties up wellness together into the shift. And so how did you guys, was that just through experience coming up with a program that really suited well to an emergency worker shift work?
Yes, that was just trial and error. So that was basically Brooke who came up with that idea. That was always something from, that was the intention from the start. But, you know, just trial and error as we were going, we had, you know, kind of like this first group of individuals that we had do emergency fit before it was even really emergency fit during kind of the lockdown. And then we just tried to smooth that out as we went. So because, you know, I can't really wrap my head around the 2-2-4 pattern, Brooke had a lot of input in helping shape that up. So she could kind of answer that a little bit better as well.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much structured on the way that over the 7 years how I've felt working on road and how I feel. Like, I know after a night shift, or especially after, you know, in between night shifts and stuff like that, I'm just like, you know what, I just want to go home. I just want to go to sleep and just maybe, yeah, go for a walk or listen to something that's just going to try and help me get to sleep, or just sort of bring back the cortisol level back down to normal. And then, you know, then start to ramp thing when I start to feel better again post night shifts on my days off, because what you do 2 days, two nights, four off here, that's our roster. And then, yeah, so over those days off, you're feeling a lot more energized. You're like, right, now I can hit it a bit harder. My sessions can be a bit longer. And then our the ones that were structured for our day shift sort of a short, sharp type of workout, because, you know, people, if they're going to do it before work, you don't want to get up super early and be slogging it out for an hour. Or when you finish work, you're kind of a bit like, you know, may get a shift extension, and you're like, if you just need to go home or go to the gym and smash out 30 or 40 minutes, then that seems to suit a lot better. And I just sort of, yeah, developed that on my own and how I used to feel, and then how feedback from the group as well. So yeah.
That's really cool, because I don't think I've ever, I think you guys are one of the first people I've ever come across that do very emergency shift work, and you really tailor it to that. So that was really cool to look at it and really follow you guys about that, because I think that's something that, you know, students always ask, you know, how do we fit it in, or, you know, what mm-hmm. is the importance of exercise as a student, or even, you know, as a paramedic, but not only for placement, but for study as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know how time poor, especially as a student. You know, we've got these guys, like I said, they come in for their next couple of years. They're on road, they're studying full time and working full time. And, you know, the first thing that sort of falls by the wayside is their fitness and their own wellness and their well-being. And, you know, that's over time, that can be very detrimental. Like, I know that my way of coping with the job is I go to exercise, you know, so it makes me feel good. And then when you're exercising, you tend to want to eat better, and then you're eating better, your mood's better, and it's just sort of this flow on effect. And I think that's the most rewarding part about this, is being able to get people to fit that little bit into their life and see how noticeable the changes are. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And there's such a correlation between physical exercise as well as mental stability and like mindset, and also building resilience. And resilience is such a key part of what I think all paramedics have spoken about, is an important thing for students to develop. And
yeah,
with physical activity to help bring that, and especially with your program, how even just taking half an hour for a little walk out in nature, listening to a podcast, potentially the student paramedic podcast, you never know.
Yes.
And yeah, perfect, what a great thing. Maybe we could implement that into your next program. Yeah. But I think it's such a really good way to try and, yeah, as you said, take that step back and reduce those cortisol levels and really just recognize that I need to take a moment back, but still do something good for your body.
Yeah.
Furthering from that though, like you said that how exercise prevents injury, and now manual handling such a big part of the workforce that we do as paramedics, and that as a at a hospital you get all these extra implements and tools, but we don't have that in the back of an ambulance. So can you just talk about the correlation between how injury prevention and exercise, how they go hand in hand?
Yeah, definitely. And actually this was sort of another part of how this sort of started to form as an idea in my mind, was about, it was 2 years ago, I had a repetitive strain injury on my wrist, which I ended up having to have surgery for, and was off road for about 5 months, I think it was, in the end, because I had to have, yeah, had the surgery and then to take it to get it back to being able to be operational again. And just that time being off road, and sort of we've got an area where it's where all the people basically go that are broken, and just the number of people with that repetitive strain, or shoulders or backs, wrists, all those kinds of things that have just be a lot of them could be prevented by just being that little bit stronger, that little bit fitter, and a bit more road ready, you know, those, because of the amount of times that we lift a patient in a day is just, it's ridiculous, you know, so many times. And so yes, it just was like, okay, this, something about this needs to change. Like, we really just need to be a bit, get our bodies a bit more robust and ready to be able to take on the strains of the job, because it's something, if you're not fit and you're not strong, you pretty much guaranteed you're going to get an injury at some point in your career. And, you know, a back injury, that could be career ending for you. You know, you twist your back the wrong way once, which sometimes it's you can't help it. It's going to happen. You know, a patient moves on a scoop or on a stretcher and you're not ready for it and things like that. But if you've just got that base level of fitness and strength, you know, in your body before you go out there and start, it's going to really, really set you up just for a long career, because this career, yep, for all the student paramedics out there, it's hard on your body. It really, really is. So it just can give you those, you know, those extra years and make the job a lot more enjoyable. You know, if you're struggling to lift people, if you're struggling to move around and get in and out of an ambulance and things like that and carry heavy bags all day long, yeah, it can be quite tough.
No, that's really, really interesting, because it's true. Like, we do have sort of sporadic levels, I guess, so like higher physical exertion tasks, and then you'll have prolonged periods of pretty sedentary time as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
And so I guess, how does that change how you tailor a program for the paramedic professional or for emergency professions? Do you make it, you know, those for power or endurance or strength or just, you know, more holistic?
Yeah, Ray, you'll probably be able to jump in on this one a little bit better than I would, but this is where we sort of, it helped when we joined forces, because I would tell, like, I basically gave Ray a demonstration or a list of all the different exercise movements, that movement patterns that we do, you know, say, for example, of carrying, you know, your big heavy bags or your monitor or your defib and things like that, and they're heavy. And then so Ray programs, for example, things like farmer's carry, so where, you know, you're holding onto some heavy objects and carrying them, and just a lot of shoulder stability type stuff, because that's, you know, when you're going to be carrying people, lifting bags, even, you know, like, you wouldn't think about it, but repetitively opening and closing the sliding door in the side of the ambulance, you know, that's a lot of repetitive movement of your, you know, your shoulder capsule, basically. So a lot of that overuse, that bursitis stuff comes in. Picking up patients off the ground on a scoop, then you've got that, you know, picking up a heavy object from the ground. So you've got your deadlifts and things like that that are going to help. That's just a couple of examples of how we've sort of tried to marry across the movements that we do on road, the movement patterns, to an exercise, and then sort of structuring that to together, if that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, it's just a lot of, with the lifting aspect of things, it's, we're after, strength is a byproduct of what we're after. And obviously we do program a lot of conditioning stuff in as well. Like you mentioned, for that holistic kind of approach. But in regards to the whole strength thing, we're after like a little bit more like those higher rep ranges, kind of that hypertrophy work, because that's going to be something that I would say that a lot of people have never done before. I guess so you could say it's a little bit more of like the traditional kind of bodybuilding work, although we're not after the kind of the vanity muscles. We're after kind of, you know, building up those muscle groups. And that provides us, and I don't know if you noticed that I program a lot of a tempo work in there as well. So it'll always be to a tempo. And what that does is that forces that individual to kind of take the weight down to something that's accomplishable for that rep range, and also adhere to that tempo. So it's probably never going to be very heavy, and it's not going to be for, you know, like five reps, and like super, you know, heavy back squats or anything like that. That's not something that we really program. And that's going to help kind of build, you know, up that resiliency in that repetitive movement on the work, in the workplace. And the other thing, like I mentioned, is just that good balance. So having the balance between the pushing and the pulling, or, you know, squatting and hinging, and, you know, the core, all that kind of stuff, that provides us a safe environment. Kind of getting away from that repetitive overuse stuff. So like your golfer's elbow, your tennis elbow, your shoulder bursitis, any sort of kind of SI joint injuries in the low back or anything of that nature, right? So that's kind of, yeah, our philosophy, or my philosophy, I guess, are both of our philosophies on that programming aspect.
Oh, no, definitely. It sounds like you guys really take the time into really figure out what it is that needs to be programmed for the profession and to succeed at that with relatively low injury rate as well. We're going to have students on listening that are, like, you know, always into the gym, you know, very elite, do sports, things like that. But then we've also, you know, there's students out there that are probably just like, well, I'm not into all that. I just want to stay fit and healthy. Do you tailor specifically to one or the other, or is it pretty much for anyone and everyone?
Pretty much for anyone and everyone. I mean, I don't know, Brooke could probably agree with me on this one, but you know, we have two different programs at the moment. We have a more of an advanced version of the program, you know, for like people who are like, you know, like you mentioned, maybe have an elite background in sport or something like that, and they need a little bit more of a challenge. But they're all, you know, can be done to, you know, varying degrees of intensity. So you could have a beginner do the beginner. I could say I could probably do the beginner program and still get quite a benefit out of it, and vice versa. So.
Yeah, so it's actually a lot. We do have a whole varied range of people actually on the program at the moment. And some people have never, ever set foot into a gym in their life. And then some people who are triathletes and things like that. So we've got a huge range, which is really awesome. So we're seeing those great results from those people who have, like I said, have never stepped into a gym and they've just started to incorporate fitness into their life. And it's been life-changing for some of them, which has just been so great. And then also seeing those ones who are at the other end of the scale being able to get more out of it for them as well. So it's good. Yeah, we've got the three levels of the beginner, intermediate and advanced level program. So you can start in at the beginner if you've never, you know, it's all the videos are there and the demonstrations, which you don't need to know and have any previous knowledge of a gym or anything like that, you know. So it's, yeah, it's been really great.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely. So personally, like if you're out there on placement and you may not have full access to a gym facility and you just want to try and get a bit of a workout in that quick 20-minute, half-hour one before your shift, your 12-hour shift, is there a way that you can still do the program but not having equipment and not having all that stuff just at home with your body weight?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people, like I said, this sort of started around the COVID time, so people couldn't go to a gym or they couldn't get any equipment because everything was sold out from everywhere. So everyone got, you know, really creative and just made, you know, some stuff, got a backpack and put some weights in it, or got some shopping bags and put some weights in it to carry around. And you can do, a lot of people on our program actually don't have gym memberships and do it at home. So it's for if you can take the program and do it at the gym, or you can do it at home as well.
Nice. So does that mean we can do it, say, for our listeners who are in, you know, Melbourne or New South Wales, they don't have to be in Perth to do it. They've still got that support to be able to do it at home.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah, the way we've tried to make it so we can try and have it available to absolutely anybody from anywhere. I've actually, yeah, had one of my friends who is, she's not even in emergency services, but she works on a cruise ship. So she's got odd hours and things like that. So she was doing it like on the deck of the ship and things like that. And one of my friends who's a doctor in Canada, she's, you know, doing it as well. So it's been really great.
Yeah, definitely. And it's honestly sounds like you've built such a large community and following just in the short time that you've had Emergency Fit up. So obviously you write programs and you are that type of engagement, but what else do you do with Emergency Fit? Do you do nutrition? Do you do anything else like community wise?
So we've been doing once a month we'll get, because we sort of have everyone spread across different shift colours here. Obviously, this is something that is only WA based, but it wouldn't stop anybody if you had a group of people that were doing it together in your service or whatever to get together and do a group exercise session. It's just been really great for people who haven't had any exposure to training and just to sort of refine some of those techniques, and we just go, and it's more like a social thing, just getting everyone together and having a fun little workout and then going and we go have breakfast and coffee after. So it's a bit of, you know, bringing in that not mindful wellness and just to get everyone sort of just chatting and being social and doing something outside of work, which is nice. And we are, in regards to nutrition, we put up, you know, we've got a private Facebook group for the people that are in the group that, yeah, we put up, you know, tips like with meal prepping and some recipes on how to make, you know, bulk things like, in a slow cooker, and great ideas to take on road for you with shifts and things like that. So that's how we sort of tailored that side of things.
That honestly sounds like such a great community that you've already built through that. And Alex and I, we've met through a gym, and the gym that we go to is more of a community-based one, and it's such a positive, more opening environment to go there, just because you all have like-minded people there and it feels like you want to go there rather than you have to go there. Has there been a time where, you know, you've struggled with trying to work out and having that that time where you're just not motivated as such? How can you kind of approach this and try and get back on the, not back on the right path again, but also just not cause long-term detriment to yourself?
Definitely. I think, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to because we know what's right and what things that we should be doing. But, you know, especially in healthcare and emergency services and things like that, you know, you do get tired and your motivation can start to drop off, which, you know, I'm a highly motivated person to do exercise because I love it. But I certainly have days and, you know, sometimes I've had weeks where I've just gone like, I just don't want to do anything. Like, I just don't feel like doing anything. But, you know, I think the best piece of advice I could give is just not to beat yourself up about it. You know, the fact, you know, I haven't done anything for weeks. I haven't done anything for months. You know, you can always start tomorrow, you know, like make that start just to go, okay, what's happened, what's in the past has happened. I'm going to start to try and make small changes from tomorrow. And the thing is with exercise is, you've got to find something that you enjoy, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to stick to it. So if it's just starting off and you're just going for a walk, you know, and then you can incorporate one workout a week, you don't have to go and work out 7 days a week, and doesn't have to be high intensity. As long as you're just moving your body, and yeah, like I said, just enjoy it and, you know, try and find yourself a buddy if you want to. And then if you fall off the wagon and you go for another week and you don't do anything, then that's fine too. You know, you just got to just, yeah, give yourself a bit of a break now and again and go, all right, I'm going to try and start this tomorrow, and just be nice, be kind to yourself.
That's really good advice. So a lot of our listeners at home will be paramedics and students. So they've got their placements. They've also got an extensive study load with them. On top of that, most of them will be working part-time jobs, full-time jobs even. Some are mature age students with kids and a family. Now, if I was to work out and do your program, and I think it's an amazing program, but how often should I be doing it? Like, I'm not trying to compete at the Olympics. I'm not trying to go and win a gold medal. I just want to be healthy, enjoy my time, stay fit for the job, as well as look good in the uniform.
Yep.
What's like a general guide of like how long you want to be working out for and that?
That's a tough one. You know, everyone's sort of situation is different. You know, if you can get a bit of movement in every day, even if it's, like I said, it's 10, 20 minutes, or you start off with doing half a workout, you know, once or twice a week, and then you can build on it from there, then that's fine. You know, it's a good place to start would be if you could do, you know, say 3 days a week, like have a couple of days in between each one if you want to. And, you know, and those people with kids, again, that's a really tough one. We've got two ladies actually in our program who've got kids, and she does it at home, and now they've started doing, you know, laps down the street with her, and she sends us videos of them doing it with her, and she brings them to the class that we do. And, you know, that's, fitness has never ever been a part of their family and what they do, but now, you know, the kids love it, so that's given her motivation, because she just wants to be a better role model for her children as well. So that's huge to be able to get your family involved. But yeah, so just, I think you've just got to, it's very individual on what you think's best for you, but definitely, you know, don't jump into it and just try and go, you know, 5 or 6 days a week. Just, you know, start off, you don't want to get too sore, you know, just start off with one or two a week, then bring it up to maybe 3 a week. Even if you can just in between the days, just go for a 20-minute walk, just move your body, because the psychological impacts of that as well are huge. So, yeah.
So you mentioned that, you know, you've had people that have come in, never stepped foot into a gym, and it's the first time they've ever done it. Have they had, you know, really great outcomes from it, and have they found the effects work, you know, doing their shift work or in their everyday lives, have they really found improvement from it?
Yeah, it's been amazing, actually. I work with one lady whose name's Sharon. She's 58 years old, and she started with us, like she was in our first group that came through, and her husband as well, he's not in emergency service. He used to be back in the day. He was a firefighter and he was in the Marines, so he's got a history of training. But She started, she thought, you know, she swam once or twice a week and thought that she was keeping up her fitness, but then she started and she's lost 14 kilos now. She's, you know, dropped 3 uniform sizes. She looks amazing. And then she now, when was it, only a couple of weeks ago, we've got this big mountain down here called Bluff Knoll, and her husband George climbed to the, like, summited it, and she said, never in a million years would I have ever thought that I would ever be able to climb to the top of Bluff Knoll. And she's just, yeah, now on the weekends they make up their own workouts and they do things together, and they've set up a little gym in their garage, and it's just so amazing to see, like, and to start at 58 years old and just completely transform your life. Like, that has been, like, she's an inspiration to me, just from doing that. Her and her husband George, they're both just such amazing people. It's awesome.
That's incredible. And I guess then, like, you were talking before about being around people and working out together, so how important is community for fitness? Because both Brad and I come from, like, CrossFit backgrounds and things like that, so working out with other people, having just other friends to go with, doing things like that, we find that way more beneficial. How important is that community at Emergency Fit?
Yeah, I think it's huge. Like, I think you guys touched on it before about being around like-minded people. And I think now this little community that we've developed and built is full of that. And they all, you know, have identified, you know, having the same struggles, and then, you know, with the shift work and things like that. And then just getting them together, like when we do our little group ones together, they absolutely love it. Like, they all look forward to it. They can't wait to, you know, when's the next one? And the fact that they bring their kids and their kids jump in and they will do stuff as well. And they're all just after, when we, like I said, we go for breakfast afterwards and have a coffee and stuff, and just seeing everyone just so chatty and excited and just, I don't know, like, you know, exercise just gives you that buzz, and you just feel they're just really proud of themselves, because you also push yourself that little bit harder when you're with somebody else too. Like, if you're doing the program together and then you do the, you know, the bit of the conditioning workout, we're all competitive. I think paramedics as a whole, we're a quite competitive bunch. And then, you know, they get on there and they just, yeah, push each other hard. And then they also encouraging each other and then celebrating each other's wins, but also picking each other up when you're at a bit of a, you know, you might've had a bad day on the job or a bad week, and just being able to sort of just, bounce ideas off each other and feelings, and just be like, okay, you know, we've got this together type thing. But that sort of, that sense of belonging to that group and that underlying sort of common goal. Yeah.
I'll probably direct this question here for Ray, but you said that you mainly do the main programming of all this. So if I've worked a long week, I potentially may have hurt my shoulder or I've hurt something. Do you offer modifications with your programming just so I can keep that training up there but not hurt myself anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. And that would just be having somebody reach out in the private Facebook group or anything like that, and we could definitely make modifications. That's something that I'm quite used to. So, like, I coach CrossFit and I'm like a personal coach. So I work at a CrossFit gym where we're not really affiliated with CrossFit anymore, actually, but, a lot of our methodologies are based in CrossFit, and a lot of the work that we do is off of injury modification. So, it's, you know, people usually seek us out, with injuries. And, so that's something that I guess I wouldn't say like I'm an expert in, but it's something that I definitely spend a lot of time in that kind of that modification or injury modification or even movement alternative kind of space. So it's definitely something that we could work around for sure.
That is honestly such a good answer. And I think it plays such a big part, especially in the service that you are providing us. So your service is designed for paramedics, so paramedics, student paramedics alike, but I'd definitely say that even firefighters, police workers, and anyone really in the emergency field could partake in this program.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, then that's something that we've always kind of wanted to, program too. So, you know, I have emergency services workers, nurses, doctors, paramedics, firefighters, you know, police officers, anyone in that kind of space is kind of what we're trying to reach to.
Very nice. So, coming to the end of our conversation, but where do you guys view or hope that Emergency Fit will be like in the next couple of years or so?
I think, yeah, our goal is to just to try and go, you know, Australia-wide, worldwide if we can, and just try and just, it's quite a unique little niche that we found here. And I think that every service needs it. It needs it for their people, just based on, yeah, everything that we've spoken about, really. So I just think hopefully we can sort of get out there and, yeah, reach all the emergency services around Australia. And then if when it went, you know, outside Australia, then that would be amazing. But just being able to, yeah, just try and just change the lives and keep people in the job longer, and both physically and mentally as well, which would be just amazing.
That's awesome. We hope that all of our listeners check you guys out. So how can people become a part of Emergency Fit? How do they find you guys?
So, yeah, you'll find us on Instagram, so just Emergency Fit, Facebook as well, and our website, so www.emergencyfit.com.au.
That's awesome.
We're out there. Google us, so you should be able to find us somewhere. And then, yeah, if anyone's got any questions there, just send us a message, an email. We'd love to try and help out and get you started.
Thank you so much for coming on, both Brooke and Ray. We appreciate you guys taking the time to chat to all of our listeners. So, guys, check them out. Hit them up. Get your fitness on track. Get ready for placement, study, for the profession, wherever you're at. And we'll chat to you guys in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can email us at thestudentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com.